a favor? Let's give a round of applause for our dream team all the way around, our ushers, our worship team, all the way from the parking lot, our children's services. We are just so blessed here at Family Worship Center. Well, happy new year to you. It's an exciting time to be living in. We're so glad to see you visiting from college. We've got Isaiah and Gabby and some other individuals that I see. I tell you what, it is wonderful to be part of a family. I don't know if you can feel that or not, but just the atmosphere of God, He is so good. So we just welcome you to Family Worship Center. My name is Kathy, and I'm so privileged to come and open up the Word of God with you this morning. We are excited. We are starting a four-week series on the Word of God. It's called Next January. You're like, what? What are you talking about next January? Aren't we preparing for this January? Yes, next January. And we want to encourage you this morning that God blesses what you prepare for. God blesses what you prepare for. So I'm going to ask myself, am I going to be in the same place next January, or am I going to change? Am I going to take some responsibility and prepare for what God wants to do in my life? This year, we're looking at a year of overflow, a year of overflow, but there's some responsibility on us. I want to ask a question. Who had a great Christmas? Anybody great Christmas? Who's like, Christmas is behind us? Don't even bring it up. But at Christmas, who had a great Christmas dinner? Anybody? Yummy dinner? It's a tradition in our house. We have leg of lamb, and it's so good, infused with garlic. I got a little bit of Pastor Tom in me. I love leg of lamb. My husband doesn't. I don't know what's wrong with him. We did have a ham there for the people that were non. But, you know, there's one ingredient in households all over the world, a special ingredient at their Christmas dinner. Some people might think, well, it's the garlic, it's the salt, pepper, the paprika. I'm acting like I know what I'm talking about. But no, it's not a spice, but it is preparation. If you woke up on Christmas morning and thought, I'm going to have a spectacular dinner, and you didn't go to the store and buy what you need, or most stores would have been closed. And if you did find a store that was open, probably everything would have been gone. Why? Because there were people that prepared weeks, even months in advance for that one special meal. And I often wonder if sometimes we look at the miracles of God, like, when are you going to show up? When are you going to show up? When, where's the preparation on our part? So this morning, I want to encourage you, some miracles take preparation. Most of us are waiting on God, but I wonder if He's waiting on us when it comes to miracles that God wants to do in our life. I want to be prepared in 2019 for a year of overflow. I'm prophesying over you that this is going to be a momentous year for you, a momentous year for Family Worship Center, a momentous year for your family. What does the word momentous mean? It's of great importance or significance, especially in its bearing on the future. A momentous year, a significant time for our future. And some of you might be thinking, well, how do you know that, Kathy? How, you don't know me. You don't know what's going on in my life. But then others of you are saying, you know what? I receive that. I will hook up my faith with what the Word of God promises to me. And that's what's so important. We have to catch what God is doing and allow Him to do it in our own lives. You know, numerous times we can be our own worst enemy, can't we? Sometimes when it comes to what God wants to do in our life. And we might be blaming it on the enemy when really maybe it's laziness. Ooh, I'm stepping on my own toes. I didn't wear heels this morning. I wore flats because many things aren't the devil, but it's laziness. Well, the devil just tried to trip me up on that test. I didn't do as good as I thought. Well, did you study? The devil just keeps sending me all these bills. My finances are just a wreck. Did you sign up for that two-year contract to pay for the cable? So a lot of times we're blame shifting, but our preparation is going to be essential for overflow this year. our preparation, not my spouse's preparation, not my teacher's preparation, not my boss's preparation. I'm responsible. And many times we're looking for God to do the unexpected, but God wants to exceed what we're already expecting. God, let me repeat that. We're looking for God to do the unexpected, but God wants to exceed what we already are expecting. What does that mean? That means I'm looking for that overflow. I'm expecting. I can wish for new furniture to be delivered to my house, or I can set up the appointment and know and expect the furniture to be delivered. Do you get where I'm getting at? Some faith is, well, I'm just wishing and hoping and maybe God will show up. Or there's the expectation. I'm going to walk in a year of overflow. In fact, if you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians. Ephesians. That's in the New Testament, General Electric Power. That's how I remember that. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. He wants to do more than we can even imagine. I mean, how many of us are imagining that book publisher is going to call us and publish our book? Or is that just, well, that's someone else's dream? How many of us are imagining that I will live in my dream house one day? Do we have it written down anywhere? Is it anything that we think about? How many of us are imagining God's put a song on your heart? But have we taken the time to write it out? Have we been intentional about trying to record it? How many are imagining the baby that God has promised us? Do we have the room ready? Are we just dreaming and wishing, or are we pulling in our miracle? I want to encourage you this morning that we are in a season of preparation. I am prophesying that Family Worship Center will not be in the same place next January as we are now. Our classrooms will be full of young people that are excited. Our schools in Volusia County are experiencing the presence and the power and the revival of God. Your life will be different. God will bring overflow, but it's what we're expecting and not wishing. I wrote down here, imagination has to do with getting a visual image of something that is not there yet. What is it that you're wanting? What are you believing God for? A visual image. I love it because when I look at that scripture, I think of not measurable. That means like that's beyond what I can think. That's beyond what I can believe. I want to get out there and believe beyond where I am today. I'm encouraging you to do that. Faith is walking by the vision that God has given me and not by the sight that I have now. The vision. It's time for some of us to get out those journals that we penciled in 5, 6 years ago. Remind ourselves. It's not by what we see, but it's what God said that we're living in. We need to live in what God has said to us, not with what we're seeing right now. I believe that is true faith. In fact, there's a story in the Word of God in 2 Kings chapter 4. Here's a widow who had to imagine that God was her provider. Faith is walking by the vision that God has given me, not by the sight that I have now. My question for me and for you this year is, what am I exercising my faith for in 2019? Will I be in the same place next January? Yeah, I might have come across a couple revelations in the Word of God. I'm not sure if I really applied them or not. I might have taken really good notes in church, but you know, am I really exercising what I heard? I might have talked about starting a devotional life with my spouse, but, you know, we'll get there. We'll do it. I'm going to wait to buy that special book so that, and if we're not careful, next January, we'll just have a new outfit, but nothing will really have changed in our lives. I'm telling you, that's not going to be me. And I believe that that's not going to be you because we're in a season of preparation. So in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1, I've had time to turn there. This is a story about the widow with the oil. Let's read it here. It says, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Let's just pause for a moment. Back in those times, if a family had debt that they were not able to pay, the way that they would work off that debt is they would come and they would take your children and they would go work off that debt. How many of you think that should be brought back? No, well, that wouldn't be nice, but it's might work. No. Then it goes on to say in verse 2, Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Then he immediately said, tell me, what do you have in your house? Now, the quick fix would be, how can I help you? You know what? Give me money, Elisha. Just fix it. And that's how we do with God sometimes, isn't it? Just fix it already. I need this today. I can't wait any longer. But Elijah here in his wisdom said, wait a second. What can I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? And I've got to do a self-evaluation. Is God ever saying that to me when it comes to my faith and what I'm believing for? Kathy, what do you have? What are you offering? What are you believing? And then it goes on to say, your servant has nothing there at all, except for a small jar of oil or of olive oil. And then it goes on to say, Elisha said, go around and ask all of your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few, then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars. As each is filled, put it to one side. I don't know about you, but I would have been like, huh? What? What? That doesn't make any sense. I'm telling you, a year of overflow. I think this year is going to be God asking us to step out. This just doesn't make sense. But when it doesn't make sense, that's when he shows up. That's when he gets the glory. And then it goes on to say, she left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars in to her, and she kept pouring. And in verse 6, when all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. This is another check mark that I saw. Oh, the preparation. What if they would have gotten more jars? She would have had more oil. But they prepared for what they believed the smaller jar could fill. And it goes on to say here, the boy replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons will live on what is left. I'm telling you, there are so many rich nuggets in this little passage. Maybe you have light bulbs popping off in your own mind. Okay, God, I want to say that next January, things will be different than they are right now because I am going to be prepared. I'm going to be the one going out and getting my jar. What can we learn? What can we learn from this story? Number one, acknowledge where we've been. Acknowledge where we've been. What took place in 2018? Where did we fail as a family? Where did I fail as an individual? What did I allow to overtake me? Sometimes we're real quick to put that on the shelf. Let's not go to the past. Don't you know what the Word of God says? Leave those things behind. But I want to tell you this morning that we can learn from our past so that we can be better in our future. I wrote down the past is not a prediction of your future, but the past does give you wisdom of what we need to do. The biggest trick of the enemy is to make you think that he's not real. Okay? And as believers, we have a target on our back. He doesn't want you to live in a year of overflow. He doesn't want you to experience God's goodness. He doesn't want you to be in relationship with him. So it's just sometimes easier to take the past, let's pack it up in a box and put it on the shelf. I don't want to talk about the abuse that took place in my child. I don't want to talk about that generations after generations have been divorced. I don't want to talk about this negativity. But sometimes that which we ignore doesn't get the attention so that it can be solved and fixed. So we need to say, okay, wait, I acknowledge that took place, but because of Jesus Christ, it stops here and now. The blood of Jesus, I'm starting a new bloodline. There will not be divorce in my family. I'm starting a new bloodline. There will not be abuse in my family. But we have to at least acknowledge it. Your decisions will determine your actions. Your actions will dictate your outcome. So acknowledging where we've been. The second thing that this woman did is she acknowledged where she was. Do you know it was quite embarrassing for her, I'm sure, to go and find Elisha and say, I need your help. She had to say, wait a second, I'm a widow. And I have debt. My husband left me with debt. What we don't read here is if you study out the Greek of this, she was actually the husband of a prophet who months prior to when Queen Jezebel was in reign, she was out to kill all the prophets. Well, this woman's husband was in the caves and he hid 100 prophets and he was feeding them. And due to the excessive amount of need that was there, they found their own household was in debt. So today you might find yourself in a situation where it was out of my control, Kathy. They did this or this. But you know what? She didn't blame shift. She took the responsibility. You know what? I'm going to step up and I'm going to ask for help. I want to encourage you, acknowledge where we are. Every thought we think, every belief and interpretation we hold, where's the enemy's playground? It's up here, right? It's in our mind. This is what the beliefs, the things that we think, lead to every emotion and action that we take. So, you know what? Maybe my husband gets up on the wrong side of the bed. But am I going to allow his bad day to affect me? No, but we do that, don't we? He's going to be in a mood, then I'm going to be in a mood, and then it trickles down to the children. But I'm responsible for my own joy. I'm responsible for my own peace. I have, a psychotic boss, and every day I just don't know what I get when I walk through the door. Does that allow me to act how I want, to have my own pity party? Or do I say, wait a second, I'm taking control of how I feel. I'm the gauge of my peace. I'm the gauge of my joy. She could have allowed the circumstances to control her, but what did she do? She stepped up and acted. And sometimes when it comes to the church, we are quick to wear a mask, right? She might have showed up like, hallelujah, everything is good. But the bills are due, right? What did she do? She helped. God can only bless who you are and where you are, not who you pretend to be. I'm telling you, I love small groups. I love small groups because that's where we take off our mask. We get in community. We get in family. We share things. We become accountable. We're lying to ourselves if we're acting one way when things are another way behind closed doors. It's like we're tying the hands of God. He wants to work in your life, but you're not only being not honest with other people, but you're not being honest with yourself. That's an epidemic in today's society. You look at something like what? American Idol. You see that person get up there. They have the glittery gloves, the shirt with, their name on it. And they've been singing karaoke for, 5 years, and mom and dad praise them, and they have the little fan club. And what do all three judges say? You're out. You can't sing. And they're like, no, I've trained for this. This is who I am. No, honey, why? Because sometimes we self-identify, but we got to take off our mask with ourselves. You know, when's the last time that I was really in my prayer closet and felt the Spirit of God move me to pray for this community that needs Jesus? When was the last time that I was awakened in the middle of the night? I mean, some of us are mature believers. We have a relationship with God. But we wear our relationship on a Sunday, and if we're lucky, maybe midweek. But I'm telling you, if we self-identify, if we know where we are now, we'll know where God wants to bring us. When you have a GPS and you put the location where you want to go, what is the other question they ask you? Where are you currently? If you don't self-identify where you are currently, you will not be able to get to your destination. Why is that important? It's important because God wants to take you into a year of overflow. I wrote down here, don't get so soaked in all the world and only splashed by the Word of God. If we're not careful, we get soaked in the world and splashed by the Word of God. No change comes into our lives. So here we found that she identified where she was. She identified where she is currently. But then she needed to identify where she was going. Where was she going? She was going to a place to trust in God. She was going to have to take action. I wrote here, decide where you want to be. Make a decision. That is something today that our society suffers with. It is so hard to make a decision because now there are so many choices. I mean, I've used this analogy before, like the cereal aisle. Seriously? It's like 102 choices. The other day I was buying yogurt for my mom at Publix, and I was like, there's like 70 different kinds of yogurt. The mixes, the stuff on top, the stuff on the bottom. But one thing I want to encourage you with today, not making a decision is making a decision. And I'm telling you, how do you get to the place where God's working in your life? You're doing the right thing every day, every day, every day. I'm going to do the right thing today. I mean, Matthew said, give God a year. Say, I'm going to come to church every Sunday. I'm going to get in the Word. Maybe it won't be 30 minutes, but can it be 3 minutes? I mean, we don't have any excuse. We have an app that will read the Bible to us. But I'm serious. It's a daily decision. And you're going to see, well, what's that really help, Kathy? You're going to see next time you start to lose your temper. Wait, it was a little easier for me today. Next time a temptation comes, I'm sitting in front of the screen after midnight. Listen, nothing good happens after midnight, okay? And I'm sitting there, and the temptation is a little less. I'm telling you, if you want to be different next January, you have to start now. You have to start now. The little, consistent thing. Make a decision. I'm going to be faithful to God this year. I'm going to join a small group. In fact, Dawn's going to be in the hall. If you would like to be a small group leader today, her and a few other leaders are going to be out there. Sign up. I'm telling you, there's no excuses. Baby steps, baby steps. We have a problem that we've been dealing with for 22 years, and we want to get rid of it with a two-week faith. Well, in 2 weeks, I'll believe God. Well, then I just give up. I'm telling you, consistency, consistency. Decide where you want to go. Make a decision. Let's look at the woman with the widow. I mean, the widow with the oil. Yes, the woman with the oil. She had to make a decision. I'm just telling you right now, I might have already been defeated. Think about it. Her husband was serving God, doing good, and now he's gone. Really, God? That's how you take care of your own? And then she wakes up, and all of a sudden, there's a bill collector. Anybody ever had that knock? Maybe your knock is a little more pressure. Pressure from the job. Pressure in the relationship. Pressure with the children. I mean, you decide what your knock is. But when that knock comes, do we lay down? Do we give up in defeat? Do we quit? Or do we say, help, God, help? She made the decision to go get help. Once she got help, then there was crazy expectation of her belief in God. Crazy expectation. I believe, and I am speaking that 2019 is going to be crazy expectation. that debt that you've been waiting to get out from under, get that jar ready. That relationship, that marriage that has been so rocky, I can't trust him, he's done this, he's done that, get that jar ready. Those children that God has promised that they will serve God, you and your entire house, get that jar ready. That education that you've been waiting to get, I'm just believing God for that acceptance letter. I'm believing God. Get that jar. You fill in. What is your jar? She had to extend faith to tell her children, I don't have an answer. I have this small cup or jar of oil. But the prophet said for me to go and out and get the jars. Boys, can you do that? They probably thought, wow, mom's really losing it now. But I mean, could you imagine they gathered all these jars? And then the first jar that she began to pour, I imagine her hands were shaking. I can't spill this. It has to last. The first jar was a little bit. Oh, man, that filled up. A little bit more. And it just kept pouring. That's the exceeding amount that God wants to bless you. But then it goes on to say, if you read the last passage in that scripture or towards the end, it says, verse 6, she left him, shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and they kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another jar. The oil was still flowing. But what was the son's response? Remember? There are no more jars. It's hard for me to wrap my brain around how many times God is saying, hey, wait, I have this for you. I have this. That thing that you've been believing for, it's here. But then our expectation isn't there. Are we wishing for things in God this year? Or are we believing? So I want to close this morning. What are you believing God for in 2019? Are you and your husband on the same page? Have you talked about it? Have you shared that vision with your children? Do they know where you're going as a family? Do they know where you're at? I'm telling you, we confess over our children all the time. They were created to be world changers. Our family will influence this world. But it's something that we don't just take and put it on a shelf. It's something that you have to practice. I'm telling you, there's so many things that pull on us from the world. It is real easy as a parent to just go, I'm just going to sit down and watch some TV. Just tell you that's sometimes real rewarding. Or I'm not talking about food, but sometimes driving through the drive-thru. I'm a Popeye's chicken. I can't have Popeye's chicken for 21 days. But that is just rewarding. Those biscuits are so rewarding. Or I can pull up my bootstraps. I want to fight for what God has promised me. I want to encourage you this morning. What jar have you put the lid on? What jar have you put on the shelf? What has God promised you? And is it attainable? According to God's word, it's attainable. There's a scripture in Matthew. I'm going to close with this. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. We knock at mom and dad's house a little bit different than you do a stranger, right? Hey, mom, I'm here. Or, you know, maybe you're the bell person. Ding, 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 just to be funny. But why? There's comfort there. If you're going into God's house, into your prayer closet, like, this is the year to get comfortable. This is the year to start praying. This is the year to start asking, to start believing. This is the year of overflow.